that department. And then also there's a new Treasury instruction that was issued on the 31st of May by National Treasury, which was also announced in the news media. We basically, it's required that when a bidder submits a bidding document, it must disclose whether any employees or that entity have an interest in that entity, or is somehow employed or remunerated by that entity. And then the accounting officer is required to do certain checking to check whether that person has permission to do any outside relative work. And I just want to, at this point, indicate, I think that's part of, when you look at the report that was given to SCOPA, is that it's important to note that the mere fact that someone is holding a share in a company doesn't mean that they're doing outside relative work. And I think sometimes that led to confusion. It could be, obviously, that they're doing such work. And for that, there's a clear provision in the Public Service Act that you must have permission to do outside remunerated work. So that is one of the new measures that was introduced by National Treasury in the terrain of procurement. And it's also important to note that in the Public Service Code of Conduct, it's required whenever an individual is sitting in processes that they have an interest in, they must excuse themselves. And that is a standard provision. And as members would be aware that there is a financial disclosure framework applicable across the public service and national provincial departments for all senior managers to disclose interest. Now, the disclosure of interest is you doing it for the before the end of April for the previous year. So there's no, for instance, if a new interest arrives now, you don't have to disclose it immediately, you only have to disclose it the next year, which is an area that we're looking at for possible amendments. And for instance, all these, the financial disclosure framework in the public service can be amended through regulations, new legislation, or an act of parliament if it's not required. And I just want to summarize in terms of the proposals in the private members bill, which in my opinion is dealt with in existing legislation. And the first one is where a business tender, submit a tender, whether they must declare interest of employees. Now, there is a requirement. I think the one difference is that they're not required to do it under oath. When I see in the withdrawal bill, they're required that it must be done under oath. But it's only limited to employees. It doesn't extend to family members. And then as to the proposal in the bill that employees must declare interest, currently it's for SMS members that they must do that. And there's no requirement currently of employees or SMS members to disclose interest related to their family members. But there is some constitutional constraints in that regard that we need to consider. Then on the second proposal, which is that the employee or any family or business partner may not hold the interest of, I think that the percentage is 5% interest. For that, there's no existing measures in the public service. I'm not aware of anything for public entities as such. But this is one of the proposals that's contained around, I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but there is a proposal in the public sector integrity framework for looking at that employees don't do business with departments where they work at, and also how far should you go. So that is more or less my input on the draft members' bill. If there's any questions, Chairperson, I'll be available.
Thank you very much. Is there any clarity-seeking question, honourable members, that you wanted to, honourable Killian?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, yes, thank you for this opportunity. Now, the has made a proposal and basically setting out a number of reasons why it's actually not necessary to consider this draft, this bill, or why we shouldn't pass it, this committee shouldn't pass it. But I want to ask her a question. If, with all the measures in place that she's indicated to us and she's highlighted, you know, this bill and that bill and code of conduct, declarations of interest and so on, there's still an increasing level of corruption taking place in the public service. How would she suggest, then, instead of this bill, how does she suggest that we try and fight corruption further, particularly in the civil service?
Is there any other question, or do you want to allow her space to deal with the question immediately raised? Maybe you can respond to that.
Yeah, it's a short question, but it could be a very long answer. I do believe, I think it's in the fact that we're doing work, that we acknowledge that these gaps and areas that we need to address, to strengthen the measures that we have in place. And I think the challenge is that we coordinate sufficiently with other institutions like National Treasury. They basically deal with measures regarding procurement, which is a major area of corruption, or a challenge where corruption arrives. And they've introduced a number of measures now recently that to address that. I think obviously it's for Parliament to consider whether we're going far enough with those measures. And as I indicated, in the area of family members' interests, there's not that much in place in currently on, and in terms of proposals, we obviously need to look at that. And also in the area of public entities, the governing structures, isn't there a need for a single piece of legislation regulating that or making proposals to the National Treasury to submit proposals to Parliament to strengthen those measures? Or not to strengthen, because I think we need one to have to assess what's in place for each and every public entity. So some of them may have very strong measures in place already. But if to look at whether there's not a need for general measures for governing structures of public entities. But in the area coming back to the public service, national, provincial and local, there's definitely areas that we need to strengthen. And I think the aspects that's covered in the private members' bill, if they're not in existing measures, they're part of proposals that's currently being considered by government that may lead to new legislation or amendment legislation being introduced in Parliament, or it would simply be a case of amending existing regulations that's in place.
Before I allow other members to, do you have an idea as to by when that the piece of legislation that intend to close the gaps that are there can be in place?
As an official of the department, it's very difficult for me to give a definite answer as to exactly when, because there's still some processes. And you will see from the timelines on the program, we are unlikely, I think, to meet those deadlines. But it's still possible, given that we're in June, and we're talking about September. And it's currently before our minister for consideration, some of these proposals. And also to note that some of the amendments proposed are in the amendment itself, it wouldn't be the proposals, but it would enable the making of regulations, to regulate some of the aspects that's in the bill. So I'm afraid I can't really commit to timelines, but obviously if the committee is a joint committee with the other committee, we can get a mandate from the minister in terms of particular dates. And also specifically on amendments to the regulations, which is much more easy to commit on, because it's a process of consulting and then publishing in the Gazette.
Honourable Victoria. Just to make the point, I hear what the lady from the department, Ms. Square, says, but the point is also that this proposal goes slightly further than what the proposal from that side is. This proposal also covers all staff, not necessarily only SMS staff. This proposal also covers public entities, which is not covered by anything I hear from them as a possibility of changing very soon. So we must keep that in mind when we say that there are certain things happening on the other side, therefore this is not necessary. I think we must definitely take into consideration that this goes further. It also involves family members of of employees. The last point to make is that in terms of our criteria, we must be sure that there's legislation on the table within a reasonable short period of time. At the moment, it's still sort of open-ended. We need to consider that as well.
I'm sure basically that was a comment rather than a question.
I think while the Honourable is correct that it goes further, I think we also need to keep in mind that there is a process that is on the table, and nothing stops parties at that point to also bring forward some of these ideas at that point in time to strengthen the proposed legislation even further. So the parliamentary process in itself, we shouldn't ignore that that's taking place as well. And I think in terms of, even if it's not September, in terms of the timeline, if that legislation doesn't arrive in Parliament in September, but it arrives in Parliament at some point in time during this year, one should consider that to be still be a reasonable period of time.
Any further clarification question? I know that it's very constrained to, you know, to have listened to a presentation and not able to take a decision, but just to be sure you understand the process as to where it is, what is the intention thereof. It looks like there's no further clarification question. We will, of course, Madam, have a keen interest in the process of unfolding this, you know, legislative, you know, amendment that you intended to, which we will see whether the areas that are in the legislative proposal submitted by Honorable Davidson subsequently covered by your, you know, amendment, and then we'll take it from there. I'm sure I'm tempted to release her in case that. Nor any other. And thank you very much for coming and pass our regard to the ministry that we appreciate your presentation. It did put us in a better position than should we not have an opportunity to interact with ourselves. You are free to do other business of the day if you so wish. Thank you very much once again. Oh.
I just want to clarify one thing. I don't think I mentioned it. In terms of the financial disclosure framework that's currently only applicable to senior managers, there is a proposal that it be extended to all employees, and also to look at actually when do you disclose. Shouldn't you, the moment a conflict arise or a new interest, you obtain a new interest, you must immediately declare. So we do in that area are going beyond what is existing.
I'm sure, in a way, my Honourable Pretoria, it was clarifying the area that you were commenting on. But still, again, thank you very much, and you are released too.
I'm sure this will seem to take us towards the end of the business, since we may not deliberate in the absence of the portfolio committee on public service and administration, which requested us to reschedule our joint meeting in the near future, which we will do, of course, possibly. It will be part of one of the first in the third term of Parliament. We will then consider that. Without much ado, I think we are done with our business for today. And just to say, Honourable Members, I'm not going to be with you next week for other commitments. You will then have to decide on an interim chairperson for the meeting next week. And I'll only join you in the next 2 weeks. I'm not going to be here. I'll only join you when we come back from recess. So you'll. In the next two meetings, have to decide on a person to chair. I'm sure, Pretorius, you may have an opportunity this time to chair you for the next two meetings of the
You'll see everything. No, thank you very much, and good luck in my absence. I'll tell you meet again in the first session. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned until next week, Wednesday.
Thank you so much.